No matter if points are gained or points are lost, there will be much to discuss. For analysis regarding tonight's Winnipeg Jets game, here are Dave Manouk, Ezra Ginsberg, and your host, Drew Mandel. The Illegal Curve post-game show starts now.
Plan the parade route, everyone. The Jets are in the win column. Good evening, Winnipeg. Good evening, Manitoba. And for all those joining us live on our YouTube channel and all of our social media platforms, we say good evening, universe, and welcome to the Illegal Curve hockey show. The Illegal Curve post-game show, to be exact. With Dave Manouk, with Ezra Ginsberg, I am your host, Drew Mandel. Ezzy, I got to say, you're looking dapper tonight. I appreciate you dressing up for the post-game show, looking handsome. You know, you got the tie going. You got the quite the shirt there that's got, was that polka dots all over it? Nice to see you dressing up for the home opener that the Jets obviously win by that 5-1 margin.
I appreciate it, Drew. They are polka dots. And Dave M and I were at the Jets game tonight for the first two periods. And of course, Dave took his suit off because we're back at his house. So I look like a bit of a putz wearing, my dress shirt and my tie. But it's funny because, you know, I haven't been to a Jets home regular season game since pre-COVID. So we're talking, you know, almost 2 years. I actually almost forgot to tie a tie because I haven't had to tie a tie, I don't think, since then. But I figured it out. I almost had to use a clip on, but Drew, I appreciate it. You know, I tried to look good for my first game in almost 2 years. And it was just, you know, before we get into the nitty gritty details, as you like to say, Drew, it was just great to be in the building. Details. Yeah. You've said nitty gritty before, right, Dave? Drew said that, but it was just nice to be in a building with fans, you know, like Dave M and I were walking through the concourse and, you know, saw my cousin at the game. We saw some familiar faces. So it was just great to be in the building with fans and, you know, listening to them cheer. Obviously, you know, we missed a few goals in the third period because we were back here at Dave M's palatial palace. But, just great to see the Jets get the victory because, as we talked about, last game, it hasn't been a great start to the season. So it's great that the home fans got a victory.
Certainly the case, Dave. I would say that the Winnipeg Jets, I mean, the score, I would say, is probably a little flattering to the Winnipeg Jets. It was a closer game than the 5-1 score would indicate, but the Jets get the much-needed victory. I would say that when the worst part of tonight's game is that the fans and attendants seem to have an inability to count to three when throwing toques on the ice, I would say that all in all, for a team that was desperate in need of good vibes, the Jets received them tonight with the victory over the Ducks by that 5-1 margin.
Well, you could tell that the Jets fans are, you know, they were toques. And so they were free toques as part of the giveaway. And I think as a result, they figured, you know, if they were illegal curve 5950s or 3930s, I don't think anybody's throwing that on the ice.
No.
This stuff, nobody's throwing that stuff away.
That's the gold. You're right.
And let me tell you something, folks. There's going to be some really good news coming very soon. I've seen some of the new era hats that we have coming in the merch shop. It's going to be worth the wait. I can tell you, I was talking to our guy today and I said to him, I said, I'm done. Like I won't wear another hat ever again. I'm buying like one of each color. That's going to be unbelievable. So sorry. So you, just as an aside, so throw away those other ones because you're going to want to keep your Illegal Curve hat for the near future. No, you know what? It was a fun game. I mean, the atmosphere wasn't crazy in there. But fans were getting warmed up. You could see that it's going to take some getting used to. I mean, look, it's weird being in big spaces. It still is an adjustment for folks. And so it's one of those things that, like, I think people are slowly getting used to it, right? We didn't have this all of last year. I mean, like I said, I was in the building. Drew, you came to a couple games last year. It was like it's very unusual to be there with nobody in there. And so the fans took a little while to get warmed up. The Jets didn't have the best first period, but they had a good response after giving up the first goal of the game. I thought they came out much better in the second, had a better second period, and a lot of really good individual play. Really, like from gut. I won't be selling Illegal Curve fireplaces, Captain Skittles. But who knows? I mean, you know what? The fun part about the merch, we're going to have the some specialty items every month. So that'll be fun. Some unique items that are only available on kind of a limited time, limited edition sort of thing. So there's
really looking forward to that Illegal Curve toothpaste.
Yeah, yeah. As he branded Illegal Curve toothpaste, no question about that. So, yeah, no, but I think the biggest thing you want to see is Pierre-Luc Dubois showing a lot more consistency. I liked him with Kyle Connor and Evgeny Svechnikov. We were joking about the Cape Breton Screaming Eagle connection between Pierre-Luc Dubois and Evgeny Svechnikov, but I thought he had a good game. I thought Nate Schmidt, he looked, you know, there was a couple of mistakes in the first period, but I thought he looked better, especially offensively, which is one thing we talked about, you know, with Nate Schmidt himself and also just people who talk about Nate Schmidt, is that idea of the offense you get from him and that kind of firing it off his stick right onto the stick of Andrew Kopp, setting up that goal. That's kind of what you expect from Nate Schmidt. So Josh Morrissey looked good. There was a lot of Connor Hellebuyck, right? What did he make in the end? 38 saves?
38 saves. The Ducks firing 39 at him.
Right. So that's and that's what you want to see from Connor Hellebuyck. Ezzie and I were joking, saying how Connor Hellebuyck likes volume. Well, the Jets gave him back some of that volume, and the PK, even though they gave up that first one, you know, got better as it went along. So overall, not a perfect game, but you know, with the adversity, no Wheeler, Scheifele news, like that was up and down. Mm-hmm. The reality is, I think from a Jets perspective, that's exactly what you wanted. Kyle Connor looked good. Nikolaj Ehlers looked good. I mean, I think overall, you're probably pretty happy with that effort.
Yeah, and you know, just sticking with the special teams, Drew, and then I'll let you get in here. Like, you know, obviously, you know, the first goal is on the power play, and that was a nice tip by Troy Terry. Like originally, we weren't sure if Terry had tipped the Cam Fowler point shot. And so you're not going to fault Hellebuyck, because I'm pretty sure, even though, you know, Hellebuyck is a big boy, I'm sure he didn't really see that. But one of the key turning points, I thought, and obviously, you know, we like to kind of joke, usually there's not just one turning point in a hockey game. But if you remember, late in that second period, when Logan Stanley took the tripping penalty, I thought that was a real key point of the game, because obviously the Jets killed that penalty off. And if you remember, Nate Beaulieu was out there for a long time blocking shots. It seemed like he had four or five blocked shots. And obviously Beaulieu only played 4 minutes last game, right? And we were questioning the decision to go with the seven defensemen and 11 forwards. But obviously Beaulieu, you know, he didn't play 20 minutes tonight, but he played more. And I thought he had a more of an impact on the game. And I thought that was a key shift for the Jets. I thought Lowry and Kopp did a great job. They had a scoring chance as that penalty expired to Logan Stanley. So I thought that was a key part of the game. And overall, guys, I just thought, you know, Drew was talking about this, you know, last show about, you know, how the Jets needed the clean victory at home. But this really was a clean win, right? Like, this was not a chaotic game. Like, the game against the Wild, guys, I mean, there's no other word that you can describe it as aside from chaos, right? Like, the Jets obviously had the two-goal lead. It looked like they were going to make it a three-goal lead with the empty netter. But with the fighting and the hits and the stuff after the whistle and just, you know, the bounces off the skates and legs and everything like that, this game was, I thought, a lot more structured. And I realized that, you know, that's a cliche, but I thought the Jets were much better in their own end. And that's the defense and forwards. And Dave's right. I mean, Hellebuyck, you know, he finishes, what was it, 35, 36 saves. And 38 saves. There you go. He almost got to 40. And yeah, a lot of those shots in the third period were from the outside, and there weren't a lot of high danger chances. But another, you know, I just wanted to say one thing. Key save to me, that same, going back to that same power play, if you remember, I think it was Getzlaff that fed Ricard Raquel in the slot, and Hellebuyck had a really good save. That's the one that stands out to me. So he made some key saves when that game was 2-1. And he didn't have to be spectacular. The Jets were clearly, you know, the better team tonight, but I thought he was just really solid in a good response game, because the game against the Wild, he was not good.
Connor Hellebuyck, he got better, I thought, as the game went on, which is certainly what you'd want to see from him. And this is the first game, especially those last couple periods tonight, where you sort of saw the Connor Hellebuyck that you're used to seeing. Big, soft, you know, where the puck hits him and then it just dies into his body and there's no juicy rebounds. There were some rebounds earlier in the game, but he settled into the game. And, you know, there was a time there, to your point, as you were, you know, Hellebuyck really was the reason why it was 1-1. You know, the Ducks obviously opened the scoring early in the game. You mentioned it, the power play goal, the Troy Terry power play goal, 2 minutes in. Good response by the Jets to make it, to tie it up only, you know, about a minute and a half later. The Pierre-Luc Dubois, his third of the year. Talk about a guy who's really off to a quality start in what was necessary to be a bounce back year for him. He's doing what he needs to do. Rest of the first period, you would certainly say that the Jets were on their heels. If I'm not mistaken, over the outshot 15-4 in that first period. So, you know, Connor Hellebuyck obviously had to come up big. He had to be the best Jets player while it took the team most of the first 20 minutes to really get their legs under them and to get their skating going. You can't say enough, I think, about the what proves to be the game-winning goal, the Andrew Kopp goal a minute into the second period. I mean, a great play from Nate Schmidt to a great play by Kopp to really start the play, a great play by Nate Schmidt to get the puck, you know, Stasny obviously involved in there as well, and Kopp with a neat redirect on a perfect slap pass from Nate Schmidt, and just gives the Jets that confidence. They go up 2-1, early in the second, and then the rest of the second period, there wasn't much. Connor Hellebuck still had to be the best, and then the third period was where the Jets really took over the game, and it was important for the Jets to have what I would say not a clean win, not a dominant win, but just a win, to your point, Ezzy, where the game resembles what they want it to look like, especially tonight in tough circumstances without Wheeler and without Mark Scheifele. Everybody else stepped up and did what they needed to do to give the Jets their victory.
Right. And specifically, you know, the veterans on this team, right? Like, even though Pierre-Luc Dubois is only 23 years old, he's a veteran. You know, he's been in the NHL since he's 18. But, you know, we talked about, you know, Kyle Connor. We talked about Paul Stastny. And, you know, you mentioned Nate Schmidt, you know, a really nice pass on the Kopp goal. Like, Morrissey and Schmidt, I thought that was their best game of the season so far. And I was telling Dave in the press box, you know, in kind of midway through that second period, I thought that was Dubois' best game. And it wasn't just because Moose assistant coach Eric Dubois was up there in the press box with us, and Dave said goodbye to him after, and that he'd see him at the Moose home opener tomorrow. But Dubois was really good, guys. And, you know, let's be honest, he's been one of the Jets' best forward through the first four games, right? He's got goals now or four goals now on the season. He was really solid.
Yeah.
So overall, I mean, you know, and I was telling Dave too up in the press box, I keep just name dropping the press box, obviously, your boys. But, you know, I was telling Dave that.
For the record, that's not what Dave calls the upstairs in his house. He was actually down with the press box at the arena at Canada Life Center.
How funny would that be, guys, if we just wore suits like to watch home games at Dave's
house?
But I think someone earlier said, like, you know, whose bar mitzvah was Ezzy coming from? But
Ezzy, there's been a lot of comments.
Yeah, there's comments.
People think you have a job interview tomorrow. There's a lot of
things.
People are
used to seeing me with a T-shirt with ketchup stains, right? So anytime I'm wearing a dress shirt, people get a little bit nervous, right, Dave? But no, it was overall, like I was going to say, Logan Stanley is another guy that stood out to me. He was really sharp on the penalty kill and the tripping penalty. I kind of watched it a couple times there, and still, to me, that was one of those calls that it was probably a trip, but it looked like it was maybe, you know, it was something that the official could have let go.
It was a tripping penalty. It's just one of those sort of bad luck situations, and that the player sort of simultaneously steps on Stanley's stick, but it's a call that the ref has to make. You know, Stanley needs to be in better control of his stick, which is, you know, easier said than done when you're 8 feet tall and your stick is 10 feet long. But, you know, it's a call that has to be made, but it's not one that I don't think you're dwelling on that penalty. If you're, if you're Logan Stanley, you're not dwelling on it.
Cause Nate Beaulieu was, having the shift of his career out there killing penalties. But, you know, overall, what matters is obviously the win. But, you know, we can't understate the win here. Like, the road trip was pretty disastrous. They only get 1 point in the three games against, you know, teams that really, aside from Minnesota, you should beat. And obviously, you know, you've got Nashville coming in, and then you're going to go back on the road in California and face three young teams that again, you expect the Jets to – at the very least get two of those three wins. But you look at the rest of the schedule for the month of October, guys, no back-to-backs. I mean, the Jets should, you know, win the majority of these games. So back to your point earlier, Drew, it's the way they won. You know, the Jets, even though they were pretty badly outshot in the first period, I didn't think, you know, the Jets played that badly, you know, in the first period. And for the most part, you know, from the second period on, the Jets controlled play for the most part, I thought.
Yeah, I mean, I thought that it wasn't a 5-1 score, but, you know, the Jets certainly did what they needed to do. You know, this was a game where, you know, talent eventually won out, and the Jets, you know, even without Scheifele and even without without Wheeler in the lineup, have more talent. And this was an opportunity, Dave, for some of the not younger guys, because that wouldn't be the way to describe it. Some of the guys who aren't necessarily counted on to play huge roles for the team, more of your role players, if you will, stepped up and got an opportunity to contribute. And Evgeny Svechnikov has to be thinking to himself, this is a guy who came into camp on a PTO, really. You know, his career out of Detroit certainly didn't go the way he wanted it to. I think you tweeted about it, that he really is found money, and he gets the chance tonight to play way up in the lineup. Not obviously circumstances, you know, that's not the way you want to make it to that way up in the lineup, but he certainly didn't look out of place. The Jets certainly can probably have some comfort, albeit it's only one game. They can have some comfort that if they need Svechnikov to play higher up in the lineup, he won't, you know, that he looked comfortable playing next to his former Cape Breton teammate in Pierre-Luc Dubois. They look comfortable together. Obviously, Kyle Connor had a big night. Andrew Kopp certainly was effective. Nikolai Ehlers, you know, is still a dynamic player and noticeable every single shift he takes the ice. This was a, you know, if we wanted to be misleading to our audience and find reasons to criticize after tonight's game, we'd really have to be nitpicking to really find extreme criticisms to level at the Jets tonight. More good, far more good than bad for the first time this year, I would say.
Yeah, no, there's no question about it. And I think we had a question from C-Mac as to whether there'll be any cap relief for Scheifele and Wheeler, and the answer is no. Not unless the Jets put them on LTIR. So that's there. And again, the cap situation, we're not going to get into it right now, but just to answer that question from C-Mac, I saw it in the chat, and the Jets won't have that ability unless obviously things get bad with those guys. But for the most part, you're going to have to keep it tight to the cap the way they are right now. And
I don't see either player going on LTIR.
No, that's what I mean. Like, it's not going to happen. So the reality is that you're not getting any cap relief with those two on right now. So I just want to answer that quick, because I saw that one, and some people have asked that question. So no, Drew, I think it was an opportunity, right? I think that the truth is, it's a work in progress. There's still a lot being worked on. And I know people say, oh, well, you got training camp, you should have this all ironed out. The truth is Jets team is, you know, you see it with the pairings even, right? Brendan Dillon and Neil Pionk. I actually thought Neil Pionk had a much more impactful game. He looked more like the Neil Pionk we've kind of gotten used to seeing. A heavy Neil Pionk, you know, with laying the body. But him and Brendan Dillon kind of finding each other and, you know, getting that familiarity with each other's games. I think Schmidt and Morrissey continue to have that. You know, I think they've looked pretty good together. And DeMello is DeMello. And, you know, Logan Stanley, like as he says, has done a lot of good things in the game. Things that you don't, you know, as he said it to me in the first period, Stanley did something. And I thought to myself, or as he said, you know, it's something that doesn't get, you know, registered on the stat sheet. It's not something you're necessarily going to pick up, but it's one of those little things that if it doesn't happen, it can burn your team quickly. And those are the little things that Logan Stanley is doing better. So I think that's a positive for this team. And look, I thought Tom Nato, he's a guy who people are pointing out. He's another guy who's just a good pro. I really think that Blake Wallace is saying that he's betting Ezzie's wearing sweatpants.
Blake's right.
Blake, until Ezzie can wear Illegal Curve branded sweatpants, I will attest to the fact that he is wearing suit pants.
Dave, just be thankful he's wearing pants.
I am thankful that he is wearing pants. So that's
Drew, I actually wore my wedding suit to the game because it's the only suit that fits right now.
Yeah.
Well, you know the blue wedding suit? That I wore to my wedding, that's what I wore.
I tell you what, your wife, God bless Naomi, the world's most patient person, posted a video of you getting ready to go to the game on Instagram. If anybody follows Ezzie on Instagram, you know what I'm talking about.
Oh, it's right a now. Scene, man.
That video, it's a slow motion video of Ezzie strutting his way out of the house. And
there's a lot of sexiness in that Instagram story, I'll tell you that much.
There are things there you will not be able to unsee. There's just it's a video and then some. I just had to get that in there because
anyway.
Thank you, Calvin Klein.
Yeah, I think with you it's Calvin Klein. In fact, it's not Calvin. It's Calvin.
Yeah, I was a Clipper.
Yeah, that's true. You were.
Anyways, the truth is that even, you know, Jansen Harkins, again, there's things that he's figuring out in his game as he's been given more opportunity. But there was a nice play where he cut to the net and, you know, and showed some drive and I thought, and showed confidence, right? He could have passed off, I think it was Pionk, who was coming in, and he chose to hold on to it. Nikolai Ehlers, I mean, he didn't score, but there were so many things that Nikolai Ehlers did well. And one thing I'm noticing, I don't know what you guys are what think of this, but does it not seem like the Jets are employing the bank pass a lot more than they ever have previously? I noticed it tonight. Like, a lot of the, you know, Schmidt did it, and they Connor did it up to Ehlers. So I just,
did one from the point that was a bank pass off the end boards.
Yeah, that was an intentional where he missed it. And yeah, that's right.
Yeah.
So I'm talking about specifically
Jansen Harkins' goal against, what was that, San Jose or Anaheim? I can't remember, but Harkins' goal was the same thing,
Dave. You're saying, Dave, like using it in the neutral zone to gain speed. That's right. Yeah. I've noticed it a couple times. I saw you tweet about it. It's probably, look, any avenue that you can use to try and let you, I mean, what's the Jets' best attribute is probably their speed, particularly through, you know, some of their goal scorers through the neutral zone. So let them get up to top speed, let them go chase down, a bank pass in the neutral zone and get the defenders on their heels and see if good things can happen at that point. So it's anything that the Jets or any team that can do that can add another wrinkle to the game is certainly an avenue worth exploring. And the Jets, I think, have been exploring that avenue at least a few times throughout the early parts of the season.
Drew, if you'll let me pivot here for 1 second, just to go back to what we were talking about earlier, because I know there's a lot of people in the chat earlier, maybe not, you know, in the last couple of minutes, that were talking about, you know, the game on Saturday versus Nashville and whether the Jets will go with 7 defensemen and 11 forwards. Mm-hmm. We're not sure if they, I mean, the way Nate Beaulieu played tonight, we mentioned that earlier, he played, around 7.5 minutes versus the 4 minutes against Minnesota last game. So I wouldn't be surprised. I don't think any of us would be surprised if Maurice went with 7 defensemen and 11 forwards. But you should consider that now the Moose are back home, and there always is the chance that you could, I'm not sure if it would be Cole Perfetti or it might be, you know, it could be David Gustafson. So it's not out of the question that the Jets do recall a forward, because they do have the room to recall another forward.
Well, they don't have a ton of room, but
Let me just segue quickly, because that does segue. Well, first of all, David Gustafson had a phenomenal game, even though the Moose lost to Laval last night. David Gustafson had a goal and 3 assists. He looked really good in that loss. But I want to throw this to the chat. I have got, and this is going to be a consistent theme throughout the course of this season, but I've got 4 Manitoba Moose tickets, very good seats, actually. These are within, very close to the glass. So I got 4 seats for tomorrow's home opener. If you're interested in going, you with 3 people, family, friends, whatever you want, if you're going to use the tickets, I've got 4 tickets for the Moose game for someone in the chat. So participate, tell me, like, throw out your name. Let me know if you're interested in going.
Dave, we got to do something here. Like, we've got the tough duck, hardest hitting comment that we're going to do later.
So I know. I want to get some people in the chat.
From our legal curve acolytes here.
That's a good question, Ez. I mean, people can for the home opener.
It's Dave M's choice for the home opener.
You know, I mean, that's for the home opener. I'm happy to just to see. This is what I like to see. I want to see everybody telling me that why they want to go to the Moose home opener. If you tell me why you want to go to the Moose home opener, I will pick you. And then you'll have 4 seats for tomorrow's game. And let me tell you, like I said, it's going
to
be an
essay to dave@illegalcurve.com explaining why you want to go to the Moose home opener, and we will get back to you.
Oh, actually, you know what? I just saw who said this. Brian Harder said you should do Jets trivia. Well, I'm not going to do Jets trivia, Brian. I'm going to do Moose trivia. So I'm going to think of some Moose trivia. You guys can answer, and then once you get that skill testing question, we'll see who.
Which Moose assistant coach did Dave talk to in the press box tonight?
Done. That's the first question.
So stay tuned for that. Or Dave's going to come up with a Moose question, and we're going to give out some Moose tickets for the home opener tomorrow night. Some of the young up and comers that you want to see in the Jets lineup. Some guy perhaps named Cole Perfetti.
Perfetti, Heinola, Gustafson, Lundmark, Kovacevic, Gavanke. Like it just keeps going on and on and on and on. So there's a lot of excitement with this Moose team, and it's definitely a bird. And there's a lot of guys to look forward to. And Chisholm. Sorry, I it's interesting. The Moose put out a guide for their names, and I always thought, because it's spelled with an L, but it's Chisholm, not Chisholm.
Okay, well, thank you for that. And that now, for anybody that wins these tickets, do they get to sit with you or meet you ahead of tomorrow's Moose opener? Is that part of the package?
No, I don't know. I mean,
great.
We'll see. Maybe.
Is it like Autograph Alley, like the Moose dude? Is Dave going to be signing autographs for the people in the concourse at the arena tomorrow night prior to the Moose game?
Well, I don't know about that, but just like I said, participate in the chat. Let me know if you want to go, and we'll hook you up with four seats for tomorrow's game.
Okay. Well, anyways, going back to what we were talking about tonight, and of course, looking forward to Saturday. You know, I'm not sure if the Jets will actually. The Jets only have about just under $258,000 of cap space as it stands right now. So I'm not sure that calling up somebody from the Manitoba Moose is an option if they don't want to go 11-7 ahead of tomorrow night's Saturday's game against the Nashville Predators. So we'll see about that. We'll see what happens tomorrow. I don't believe it's an off day tomorrow, if I'm not, but it might be. Dave, you would know the schedule off the top better than I would. I think it was an off day yesterday, but
It's not an off day tomorrow, as far as I know.
So they're skating tomorrow, so we'll find out more about the status. I mean, Mark Scheifele, if he gets two negative tests within 24 hours of one of each, then he would be eligible back in the lineup. There was some thought that if he had got a negative test, this afternoon, right around 4:30, 5 o'clock, whenever it was that it was announced that he tested positive again, still he's asymptomatic. Mm-hmm. As long as he remains asymptomatic and gets two negative tests, then he'll be an option for the Jets. But, you know, the way it is a little odd to me, and we were talking about this, I think, via text, that there is no contingency for COVID this year, that there isn't
I were talking about that.
Yeah, there isn't it's not LTIR, just like a short-term COVID list that allows a team. What happens if somebody else tests positive? I mean, I don't know where the Jets would be at. I mean, are they good? Do they have to go, if another forward tests positive between now and Saturday and they're not going to go on LTIR, do they have to go 10-7? I mean,
that's very Vegas-y.
Well, at a point in time where there's a competitive imbalance and a competitive it's unfair in a competitive sense if you continue to hurt teams like that, and it's potentially unsafe for the players who are still in the mm-hmm. lineup. So that to me is something I wonder if the NHL maybe overlooked it a little bit or whatever it might be, but that's something certainly to keep a close eye on, because you know that once COVID is within your dressing room, which probably is with Scheifele and Wheeler, you hope it stops there, but it's certainly the possibility exists for it to continue. And that would be an interesting scenario that I don't think the Winnipeg Jets want to experience.
Well, exactly. And, hopefully we don't have to, talk about that possibility, but you almost wonder, guys, like, if it would have been nice to have like some, semblance of a taxi squad this year. Obviously Dominic mm-hmm. Toninato, wouldn't want that because, he spent the majority of the year on the taxi squad. But you're right, Drew. You almost think like whether it's the Jets or another team, if you had, a few more players and you were a team that was up against the salary cap, you wonder if you'd have to place a player on LTIR, even if you didn't really want to, just because you would need the cap space to, have enough players on your roster, because like as it stands right now, I mean, it's worked out obviously with Nathan Beaulieu. He really did have a good game. And I saw Coffey and TV, a regular viewer of IC, talking about Dylan DeMello. I mentioned that earlier. I'm not sure if Coffey and TV was listening, from the beginning, but I thought that was Dylan DeMello, Logan Stanley's best game of the year. And obviously, we know that that's going to be a pair that, Paul Maurice relies on a little bit more than, what the Jets were putting out last year on their third pair. We don't have to go over that, but DeMello is just solid. I mean, you're going to get that from Dylan DeMello. I mean, he doesn't have many bad games. He's just, that's the word I would describe. He's just one of those savvy veteran defensemen. And it was just overall a really, just an effective game from the Jets. Yeah, like in the first period, they were a little bit scrambly in their own zone. And, Paul Stastny takes a penalty that you just can't take, right? Like that, it just mm-hmm. had no impact on the play. It was just a kind of a lazy penalty. It was a lazy penalty. Yeah. Stastny, I have the utmost respect for him. He's had an unbelievable NHL career. But I just thought after that, and obviously the response from Dubois, I mean, that was just a great individual effort. He started the play in the Jets end and then obviously finished it off, with Svechnikov and Connor getting the assist there. But it was really, Dubois that he was the reason why that scoring chance was created in the first place.
Well, about Dubois and, everybody, the talk all preseason was how much more comfortable he looked and how that might translate into him being an effective player. And he's been more than an effective player, I would say, for the Jets so far through the first four games. Now, you want to see it game in, game out for 82, no question. But he is, you know, he looks like he can be a driver. And there was some question, I think, you know, would he be able to be a driver? Would he be able to be a power forward that sort of takes over portions of a game? And you're seeing glimpses of it, and you're seeing, you know, shifts of it. And to Ezzy's point there, where he talked about the Jets' first goal there, you know, you saw him, you know, when he's coming through the neutral zone with a head of speed. Well, I mean, that's a big man with a lot of speed behind him. And that's when he can be at his absolute best, because any defenseman in the league is going to have to be on their heels as a result. I mean, this is the Pierre-Luc Dubois that the Jets, you know, wanted to get. You know, Patrick Laine scored in overtime again tonight for the Columbus Blue Jackets. So he's playing well in Columbus to start the year. Both of the guys involved in that trade look better, and it looks and as a result, you know, Dubois is becoming an impact player for the Jets that they needed him to be. I mean, you look at the Jets lineup, you know, no Wheeler, no Scheifele. You need a guy like Dubois to step up, and he's really been, well, I don't know if he's necessarily been the Jets' best forward throughout, you know, through the first four games of the season, but he's certainly in the conversation as the most consistent Jets forward through the first four games.
Yeah, and you'd throw Nikolai Ehlers in there, obviously. Always. You'd throw Andrew Kopp in there. Yeah. You know, I think, you know, Paul Stastny's been pretty consistent, but there's no doubt, Drew, that, you know, Dubois has stood out for, you know, the right reasons. Like we talked about his goal scoring and you know, his place on the power play. I just really liked how focused he seemed tonight. And, you know, you're right. As soon as Scheifele is out of the lineup, and we weren't sure because, you know, you mentioned, Drew, he was asymptomatic, then it looked like, you know, maybe a negative test would get him in the lineup. Mm-hmm. But you know that, you know, it's like the next man up mentality, right? Like he is the Jets' number two center. And he's, I would say, a 1B center. He could be a first line center on most teams, but he absolutely stepped up. And it looked like, you know, when Anaheim scored that goal, you kind of started to, you know, get a little bit nervous. Your palms got a little bit sweaty there, and it was Dubois that he
easy there, Eminem.
Yeah. No, I'm not going to go into a freestyle rap for you there, Drew. But you know, that was just like I can't go over it a little bit more, guys. But we all saw the goal. Like that was Dubois, and I liked how he pushed back Anaheim's defense coming through, you know, the neutral zone with speed there, and then. Obviously, it was a nice little, you know, play from, you know, Svechnikov, and Connor was the trailer on that goal. But, you know, and he had some other looks too and some good scoring chances. So, you know, Dubois probably, you know, one of his best games of the young season so far. And he's going to have to continue to do that on Saturday against Nashville. And he's going to have to continue to do that on the road trip at California, because like we talked about, we're not sure if Scheifele is going to play on Saturday night, and we just don't know. So even if Scheifele is back in the lineup, the Jets are going to rely a lot on Dubois for the duration of the season.
Absolutely. I, you know, I saw a comment here, and I'm just putting it up on the screen, Dave, from Andrew, saying it was that the Jets had a serviceable game against an average opponent. And, you know, that's a fair comment. You know, the Ducks certainly aren't a world beater, but the Jets can only play against the teams that are they're scheduled against. And were they perfect? No. Is anybody, you know, my tongue was firmly in cheek at the outset of the show when I said plan the parade route. The Jets are in the win column. But, you know, tonight they did play a better game. It wasn't a tire fire. And I say that both in the positive sense and in the negative sense. There was more good tonight than bad, and it's the first time this year that you can probably say that. You know, for the most part, there was, you know, in all three periods of the game, in all facets of the game, the Jets players were better than the Ducks players, and that's, you know, certainly the first step to success for any team in the NHL, Dave.
Yeah, I mean, and the reality is, you have to your point, Drew. You have to play who's in front of you. You can't say, well, they're not very good, so we're not going to play them. I mean, you don't have that option. There's no mulligan. So, and you know, one of the comments in the chat, I think Rob just said it. Ducks are a very good, young, talented team. They have a lot of excellent players, and they've got a phenomenal goaltender in Gibson. I mean, that save he made, Drysdale's going to be scary.
Drysdale's already scary. He's a hell of a defenseman.
So you've got that. I mean, Gibson, that save you made on Brendan Dillon. I mean, I thought Brendan Dillon held onto it for probably an extra second. And and that's one of those plays. Nikolai Ehlers doesn't get an assist because obviously Dillon doesn't score. But it just goes to show you how teams are so keyed in on Nikolai Ehlers' shot that
He's got such great vision.
He has such a great vision. So he's, and we watched the replay, you know, as in the press box, no big deal. And it was funny because you're watching this and you watch Ehlers and he just completely looks him off and he just gets it over to Dylan and it's perfect. And again, like I said, Dylan, I thought took maybe 1 to 3 seconds, a little too long just to set it up. And then he sailed
and then shot it 10 feet over the net.
Yeah. Well, I mean, Gibson got a piece of it.
Gibson got a piece of it.
Yeah. Gibson got a piece of it. But
Brendan Dillon's not going to become a sniper. He's not going to be the goal scorer on the Jets blue line. Right now, that's Josh Morrissey, who got his second of the year already. And you know, big smile on his face after getting that goal in the third period.
Yeah, absolutely. And so, you know, that's the reality. Are Anaheim Ducks a team that you're expecting to, you know, challenge for the Stanley Cup and, you know, be there when everything is over? No, but I mean, they're also a team that, you know, they had 2 wins coming into this game, right? That was 2 more than the Jets. So all you can do is play the teams that are in front of you and beat the teams that are in front of you. And the Jets did what they needed to do, right? They had a little adversity with Scheifele and Wheeler, obviously, which they knew about for a while. And, you know, look, the crowd wasn't full, but it still was a fun crowd. Like I said, I think it's going to take some time for folks to get used to being around that many people, especially indoors. But at the end of the day, like, you know, the intros were fun. The team had, you know, it was funny seeing Dylan Sandberg still on the bench because obviously he's still with the team due to his injury. But the reality is that, you know, you're not going to, there's no reason that you're going to malign this win. I mean, sure, there were some things that can be improved upon, but there's no reason to be upset and say, well, you know, you didn't beat a very good team or you didn't do this, you didn't do that. Every game is going to have featured things that teams can do better and things that they can improve upon. But, you know, after giving up the first power play goal, shutting it down for the rest of the game, I mean, that's something that you can build upon, right? Sure. You know, doing things.
The team that hasn't been able to shut anything down as of,
you know, even so Kyle Connor, though, like even Kyle Connor's effort throughout the course of the game. I mean, as he was talking about his speed, you know, when we were there and he was just, you know, that effort on the empty net, trying to get to that empty net goal, scoring the empty net goal from 150 feet away, then not giving up on a play. What?
You're talking about the one where he knocked it down and dove and got
yeah, I mean, that was, the, I mean, that, I mean, yeah. Again, you're up and he's trying to seal the deal. He knows how, I mean, it's effort, right? And that's what you want to see from your best players are giving that sort of effort. So to me, Pierre-Luc Dubois, that's absolutely critical to see those kind of efforts from him, not just from 20 minutes. Like you saw a 60-minute effort from Pierre-Luc Dubois, I thought tonight, and Nate Schmidt, all these guys collectively, I thought were much better. And is it perfect? No, but I mean, you know, that you could say you're missing 2 of your better players. So that balances out playing a quote weaker opponent. But right now the Jets aren't the Tampa Bay Lightning. So you got to put that into perspective.
Well, the Tampa Bay Lightning aren't the Tampa Bay Lightning.
I was going to say that after, but still, they're still the champions. So
what I noticed about tonight's game, you know, you think about it, you're only running 11 defense or you're 11 forward, 7 defense. When you're thinking, are you going to be driving guys into the ice, playing them too many minutes that's eventually going to catch up to you? They didn't. And this is a function of it being a 5-1 game, of course. Andrew Kopp led all Jets players in time on ice tonight with 22 minutes and 18 seconds. The lowest time on ice in tonight's game was Nate Beaulieu at 7:21. So when you can have with a weird lineup in there, you can still get everybody a reasonable amount of ice time without, you know, overwhelming anybody with their time on ice. I think that's another layer of success in a weird situation that the Winnipeg Jets were experiencing in tonight's contest against the Anaheim Ducks. The Jets victors 5-1 over Anaheim tonight in downtown Winnipeg. Let's take a break, pay some bills, salute our sponsors, including our newest sponsor, Bagelsmith Winnipeg. They're open late on game nights at 185 Carlton Street. So check them out for your bagel needs. We'll take a break, and when we come back on the other side, stick with us. Ezzy's going to give away a Tough Duck toque for the toughest comment tonight. Dave's going to give away some Moose tickets. We have a lot going on. Stay with us. It's the Illegal Curve postgame show. We're live on YouTube. We're live on all of our social media platforms. Curves. 25 minutes after the hour, welcome back to the Illegal Curve post-game show. Drew Mandel, Dave Manouk, Ezra Ginsberg with you on this Thursday night. We remind you, Saturday morning, the Illegal Curve hockey show back here, 9 a.m. We'll get you set for your Winnipeg Jets game day, the Jets and the Preds. So we'll bring you the latest news from the Winnipeg Jets game day skate. We'll talk about the Jets week that was. We'll preview, of course, Saturday night. And then later Saturday night, after the Jets and the Preds, after the final whistle blows, the Illegal Curve post-game show right back here. Myself, Mr. Manouk, Mr. Ginsberg, we'll do it all over again before they head out on the West Coast for some late night post-game shows next week. Always a good time, gentlemen.
I'm going to give away the Moose tickets right now before I forget. So there's been a lot of good comments. I want to make sure I get the name right. Blake at the Lake, I think, is what his user handle is. So
what
he's
lake
get
is Blake at, though? We need to know. I feel
hopefully Blake is going to come back from the lake.
Here with Blake with, and Blake with, and all these rhymes.
Hold on, it's Blake. Hold on, it's Blake Wallace. Blake at the Lake. So Blake, you and your 5-year-old, and hopefully some other people, because you're going to have 4 tickets for tomorrow's game for Blake at the Lake. So Blake Wallace, make sure you send me a DM. I see Dave. I need your email, and then or Dave at illegalcurve.com. You can just send me that your info, and then that way I'll email you the tickets, and you can go to tomorrow night's game.
If the best is there's another guy named Blake that's asking, what about this Blake?
Well, hey, awesome. If Blake wants to take his 5-year-old plus the other Blake in the chat, he's welcome to do that. They're his tickets now, so I'm not going to be able to give them away. But fear not for folks in the chat who didn't win, because I'm going to have 4 more tickets to the Iowa-Manitoba game next Saturday to give away as well. So we'll give those away later in the week.
Crazy Uncle David's just giving away the tickets left,
right, and
center. I'm
giving them all away. They got to go. Right.
Crazy Dave's got a sale. Everything's got to go with Dave M and the Manitoba Moose tickets. So congratulations to Blake Wallace, Blake at the Lake. He's off to tomorrow night's Manitoba Moose game. Blake, email Dave, at illegalcurve.com, or send him a DM at ICDave.
And slide into those DMs.
Slide into Dave's
DM.
Dave loved it when you slide into his DMs, right, Dave?
That's right.
Only you.
Only when Ezzy does it. It's true. And now, Ezzy, do you have your toughest, hardest hitting comment courtesy of our friends at Tough Duck? Give away a Tough Duck toque in tonight's post game show as well.
I sure do. Tonight's winner of the Tough Duck toque is Rob Somerville, a longtime IC fan. And I cut and pasted his comment here. I liked it. The Jets will definitely have to develop the next man up mentality. While Scheifele and Wheeler are out, different players can be the star each game, definitely anchored by strong goaltending. And one of the reasons why I love that comment so much from Rob is because I was the one that started the next man up concept. So all joking aside, though, we're going
to
give
the first person ever to start that concept.
Yeah, exactly.
That was it. Nobody thought leader, about that concept before now.
So, Rob, send me a DM or email me Ezra@illegalcurve.com, and we're going to hook you up with a Tough Duck toque.
There you go. So we got a couple of winners in tonight's game. The Winnipeg Jets winners as well. Rob Somerville winning the Tough Duck toque, and Blake at the Lake winning the Manitoba Moose tickets, and the Winnipeg Jets winning tonight's contest by a 5-1 margin over the Anaheim Ducks. They get off the schneid. They improve to 1-2-1 on the season. The next action coming Saturday night against the Nashville Predators, the second of divisional matchup of the season before they head back out on the road to the West Coast. Final thoughts from either of you two gentlemen before we wrap it up and we send everyone to see Kenny and Rennie. Rennie, by the way, much less flowing with his hair now. Yes. Rennie has been shorn, so it is a little upsetting for everybody.
As long as Kenny's water bottle is, popping in the post game show, that's all that really matters. But yeah, obviously check out Kenny and Rennie post game after we wrap up here in a couple of minutes. Just an impressive win. I realize the shot totals didn't necessarily flatter the Jets, and the expected goals, don't necessarily flatter the Jets, but you know, you got the key goals when you needed them. I mean, Pierre-Luc Dubois scores right after, you know, Troy Terry scores for the Ducks on the power play. And I just thought overall it was the type of effort, you know, and that might be the word of the night, boys, but, you know, the effort was there for the Jets. I think they really wanted to get, you know, out of this losing streak, and they wanted to give their fans something to be, you know, happy about. So it was not a perfect victory, like we said earlier, but, you know, I thought it was a pretty tidy victory. And for the most part, the Jets stepped up with two of their best players out of the lineup. So hopefully they can continue that on Saturday night against a Nashville team that we know is not very good.
Dave, final thought to you.
Well, yeah, just make sure you smash that like button, folks. That's, you know, always helps us with this little thing called an algorithm. So we appreciate when you smash it before you head out on the interweb. No, it was a good game. Nice to have my partner in crime, Ezzie G, beside me at in the press box for the first time in a long time. That was, you know, I mean, usually I do talk to other people generally, but if I have the Illegal Curve partners, it's Drew or Ez, it's always a better night for me. So that was good. I won't be so fortunate tomorrow night when I'm probably the lone media member. Actually, that's not true. I think there'll be a few others tomorrow because it's the home opener for the Manitoba Moose, joining me and Blake at the lake and his 5-year-old child. I don't know if it's son or daughter, but they'll be coming to the game as well. So looking forward to that. Looking forward to seeing the Moose. I mean, we've got a new coach in Mark Morrison. You've got a lot of Jets prospects, especially on defense. Often, most nights, it's 5 of the 6 defensemen are guys who have been drafted by the Winnipeg Jets. And, you know, you've got Cole Perfetti, David Gustafson, CJ Cease, Mikael Byrd, and Arvid Holm. So it really is a Jets young, up-and-coming, you know, team in that regard. So a lot of fun to watch the Manitoba Moose. It'll be fun to watch them for the first time when they're not playing an inter-squad game against the Manitoba Bisons. So I'm looking forward to that tomorrow night. And we'll have more of that on illegalcurve.com.
And absolutely, one more thing I wanted to get in, Drew, before we wrap up here. You're really going to want to tune in to Saturday night's post-game show because we're going to be giving away bagels. Bagelsmith, our new sponsor, now open, as we mentioned earlier in the show. They're now open on Jets game nights up until puck drop, and we're going to start giving away bagels live on air. So you're going to definitely want to tune into that. Who doesn't want free bagels?
I want free bagels. There's no question. I think everybody wants free bagels. I think people want to see you eating bagels as well.
Nobody wants to see that.
I bet you if they tune in on Saturday, they're going to end up seeing you eating a bagel. Absolutely no one
wants to see that. I don't even want to see that.
We've seen it. It's like an animal mauling something is the best way I can put it. Anyways, lots of fun to come your way with the Illegal Curve Hockey Show, the Illegal Curve Post Game Show. We appreciate everybody joining us tonight for the program. For Dave Manuk in the top right, for Ezra Ginsberg in the bottom middle, I want to say a big thank you to our sponsors, Rumors Restaurant and Comedy Club, Linden Market Dental Center, Bernstein's Deli, Zappia Group Realty, Boston Pizza, Tough Duck, Bagelsmith Winnipeg, and of course, our good friends at Seagram's. Remind you, Kenny and Rennie, their post-game show has started, so head out over that way. We'll see you back here Saturday morning at 9 a.m. for the Illegal Curve Hockey Show, and again, later on Saturday night for the Illegal Curve post game show. Until then, until Saturday at 9 a.m., we wish you good night and good luck. And thanks for watching the Illegal Curve post game show.
Thanks for listening to this broadcast from Illegal Curve Hockey. For more great Illegal Curve content, subscribe to the Illegal Curve YouTube channel, follow at Illegal Curve on Twitter, Facebook, and Instagram, and visit your online home for hockey in Winnipeg, illegalcurve.com.